Chapter 3. Visitors. It's the next day, and I'm writing in one of the barns. Something exciting has actually happened. When I came down from my bedroom yesterday, we had a lovely tea of bread and fresh butter that Stephen brought from Mr. Stebbins's farm. During tea, the rain continued to pour down. Thomas came in from school an hour later with very wet clothes, and I got him some food while Topaz ironed her newly dyed green dress. It looked wonderful, and I saw Rose looking at it jealously. "Why are we dyeing our summer clothes anyway?" she said suddenly. "I can't imagine it ever being warm again."
"What's the matter with you, Rose?" asked Thomas. "You've been depressed for days, and it's very boring."
"I feel depressed," said Rose. "I haven't any clothes. I haven't any way to change my life. I live in a ruin, and I've only got old age to hope for."
"Well, that's how it's been for years," said Thomas. "Why are you suddenly unhappy about it?"
Topaz held her dress against herself.
"Oh dear, dyeing my dress in that hot water has made it too small," she said. "You must try it, Rose."
Rose and Topaz immediately ran upstairs with the dress, while Thomas went to do his school homework. I decided to have my bath in the corner of the kitchen. Stephen and I carried the bath to the fire, and he filled it with hot water. He hung old towels in front of the bath on a clothes dryer to make it private for me. Then he closed the door and left. I was lying in the bath, thinking about my family, when there was a knock on the door. I still don't know why I called out, "Come in!" As I heard the door open, I had soap in my eyes and was feeling round for my towel.
"Anyone home?"
said a man with an American voice. But another voice told him to be quiet.
"Wait, I want to look at this place first. Oh, it's wonderful," the second man added.
At that moment, I heard Thomas come out of his bedroom.
"We can't get our car out of the mud," said the first man. "We need help."
"I'll come and have a look," Thomas replied.
Then the door closed as he went off with them. I felt very happy that they didn't see me in the bath. As I got out of the bath and put a towel around myself, I realised that my body was green from the dye. Suddenly, the door opened again, and a man entered the kitchen. He seemed very surprised to see my head appear above the wall of towels. He was young, with a black beard.
"I'm very sorry," he said. "Were you here when I came in a few minutes ago?"
"Yes," I replied. "Is your car still in the mud?"
He nodded.
"Your brother is gone for horses to pull it out. I came back here to have a look around. I've never seen anything like this place."
"Just let me put on my clothes and I'll show you," I said, and quickly put out my hand to get my things.
Just then, the door opened again and the other American man entered.
"It's a green child," he said, and smiled.
He had a nice face.
"We use the bath for dyeing some dresses," I said. Then Rose appeared at the top of the stairs. I know that she didn't realize the men were in the house because she called out,
"Look, Cassandra!"
She was wearing the dyed green dress and looked very beautiful. Both men turned towards her at the same time. While I was putting on my clothes, the men introduced themselves to Rose as Simon and Neil Cotton, grandsons of old Mr. Cotton. Their father died about a year ago, which means that Scotney Hall is now owned by Simon because he is the older son. He is the one with the beard. Simon and Neil had just arrived in England from America, and they were driving to the hall together for the first time. They didn't know that they also owned Godsend Castle, so we had to tell them. Topaz came down and quietly began to make hot chocolate for everyone. Then the back door opened and Father entered with a coat over his head. He was shouting about the rain and didn't notice the men until he was standing between them.
"This is my husband, James Mortmain," Topaz said.
And then a wonderful thing happened. Simon Cotton said, "You're the rider of Jacob Wrestling." Father looked uncomfortable.
"Well, yes," he said.
But I soon realized that he was pleased. Simon began talking quickly about the book. Father seemed worried, and then he began to talk even more than Simon. But just as everything was going so well, Simon asked, "And when can we read the next one?" And Father answered,
"Never."
He didn't say it angrily, but his head dropped.
"But there couldn't be another book, of course," Simon said quickly. "Some books don't need others after them."
He went on to talk about the family and the castle until Thomas entered with news that the horses were waiting.
"We'll come back again soon," the Cottons said.
That night, Rose and I sat in bed with our hot bricks and talked for hours. Then I suddenly sat up in bed.
"Rose, we mustn't get too excited. Maybe they'll invite us to Scotney Hall and parties. But you couldn't marry that man with a beard."
"I would marry anyone with money," Rose replied.
Is my sister really planning to marry a man that she's met only once? Why do girls' minds jump so quickly to marrying a man before they know that they can love him?
Simon and Neil Cotton are here. They've just walked past the barn up to the house, and I got a better look at them.
They're both tall, but Simon is taller. His beard looks even more strange in the daylight. But he has nice teeth. Neil looks healthier than Simon and has a charming face.
Should I go in? No, I can't. I want to, of course. But sitting in the barn has made my dress dirty, and my hands are still a bit green from the dye.
Half an hour has gone, and they've come back. And now something terrible has happened. As they came towards the barn, I heard Neil say,
"You were lucky to escape."
"It was strange," replied Simon. "She wasn't like that last night, and you can see that they haven't got any money."
"Why was she wearing an evening dress in the daytime?" and trying so hard, said Neil. But I'm sorry that the child wasn't there. She was sweet.
She was trying too hard to be young, don't you think? Said Simon.
Like a child. But I feel bad about dropping the old man. I wanted to help him, but I can't do much if he drinks all the time.
Oh, I could kill them. Drink? Father doesn't drink, and he's not 50 yet. What did Rose do? I must go in.
It's 8 o'clock in the evening, and I'm in the sitting room, writing. Rose is drying her hair in the kitchen and talking excitedly to Topaz. Earlier, Topaz and I went for a walk on the mound, and I told her about Neil and Simon's conversation. Rose was in the bedroom this afternoon when she saw Neil and Simon through the window, Topaz told me. She immediately put on my green evening dress and went down to meet them. She wasn't relaxed. She was trying too hard to charm Simon. She was laughing and throwing her hair around, and she kept challenging them. Oh, poor Rose. She probably read about how to charm men in some old book. They won't come back, I'm sure, said Topaz.
And we don't want them, I said. They are horrible.
But Topaz didn't agree. Men hate it when you show that you really like them, she said. But maybe Simon will come back to talk to your father. I knew that she was wrong, but I decided not to tell her the part of their conversation about father drinking.
Should we tell Rose? I said.
Topaz shook her head.
Only if they invite us to Scotney Hall.
They won't invite us. And now this exercise book is finished. I have filled every page, and there isn't any money for another.